Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast. So glad that you guys are here. Another wonderful Sunday at Heartway. Man, we've been off to such an incredible start of the year as a community, and it's really beautiful to see all the energy and momentum and the different things that are happening, the different ministries that are continuing to be birthed, the new people that are coming and joining our community, the folks that have been here for a long time who keep diving in at deeper levels, new friends that I'm making. What's up, bud? Love hanging out with each and every one of you guys. And today we are starting a brand new series called Rhythms of Grace. Rhythms of grace. And this word grace is probably one of the most important words in the Christian vocabulary. There's one theologian that says the word grace contains within it the entirety of New Testament theology. That's a big statement, okay? So that just goes to show you how significant of a concept grace is in the Christian vision. And a lot of us understand grace to be God's goodwill towards us, specifically in relationship to our failures and our screw-ups and our mess-ups. And that's certainly an aspect of grace that is amazing to reflect on and think about. So many of us walk around with a guilty conscience. We beat ourselves up. We think we have to punish ourselves after we've done something wrong. I was just talking to somebody earlier this week who is blaming just the worst kind of circumstance that he has no control over on himself because of some bad things, quote unquote, that he does. And I had to look this dude in the face and say, buddy, you gotta forgive yourself. God already forgives you. He just started crying and crying. I hugged him. We had a little moment. But there is literally no condemnation for you in Christ. That's what the scriptures teach. So God's not condemning you. It's just you condemning you at this point. And what good does that do other than keep you stuck in your cycles? You made a mistake. Learn from it. Move forward and move on. So the scriptures say where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So I'm very grateful that even though we mess up and we make mistakes and we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people, that God continues to maintain a stance of goodwill towards us. That's awesome. But there's also another aspect of grace that I want to highlight today that I think we tend to skip and ignore. And this is how I want to define it. Grace is divine enablement and empowerment. Grace is divine enablement and empowerment. So grace isn't just about pardon, it's about power. We could say grace is the fuel that runs the engine of the spiritual life. We can also say grace is the fuel that runs the engine of life, period. But how this relates specifically to your spiritual journey is really important to take note of. Look at what it says in the book of Philippians. For it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. What does that mean? Who you are as a person is a result of the grace of God. Where you are in your life right now, I know you're super talented. I know you have it all together. I know you're so disciplined. I know you're in a 5 a.m. club. But where you are in life is totally and completely a result of the grace of God at work in your life, giving you the ability to fulfill your purpose in a culture where we have become so intoxicated by our own success and power and influence in a world and a culture where we idolize and celebrate people who have an overinflated sense of self, this message of grace is more important than ever. And especially when it comes to money, we get so funny, okay? For real. We get a little bit of money, we taste a little bit of power, and now I am the king of the castle. I am the king of the world. You all must do my bidding. And we walk around as if we are above other people. Look at what the scriptures say in the book of Deuteronomy. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So if you got wealth, that's awesome. Just don't take all the credit for it. If it wasn't for God giving you the ability to get your wealth, if it wasn't for God giving you the ability to be successful, then you wouldn't have any of that. You wouldn't be experiencing any of that. Now, it's our job and responsibility to cultivate the gifts that God gives to us, to build upon the gifts that God gives to us. But don't forget that these things have been given to you. That's the point. It's a grace. It's been given to you. So look at this quote from an author named Jerry Bridges. He says, "Our worst days are never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you're beyond the need of God's grace." Isn't that amazing? It's all grace from beginning to end. It's all grace. And the scripture says that God gives grace to the humble. God draws near to those who are humble. And that's really what grace produces in the life of the individual who receives it. It's humility. Because you'll realize that none of this is your doing. It's all God's doing. I don't have anything to do with this. God's the one that's doing it. And so every moment of your life is grace. Every breath that you breathe is grace. It's God that is sustaining you. It's God who woke you up this morning. God is literally the energy that is binding and holding all things together in existence. So all of life, all of existence is grace from beginning to end. And so it's for that reason that the Apostle Paul says this wonderful statement in the book of 1 Corinthians. "It is but by the grace of God that I am what I am." By the grace of God, I am what I am. I love that this doesn't just say, by the grace of God, I'm successful. By the grace of God, I'm good looking. By the grace of God, I'm influential. No, it says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That means all of me is the grace of God. That includes not just the light, but the dark, not just the positive, but the negative. Grace applies to all of me. Even my failures, my mistakes, my shortcomings, my limitations are a grace from God. How can that be so? Well, if I make a mistake and I learn from it and I grow and I get better as a result of it, that's grace. If I mess up and do something that is hurtful to myself or another individual, but that makes me grow in my dependence on God, if it makes me more humble, that's grace. If I had to go through a whole bunch of pain, but it's fueling me in my purpose, that's grace. So how can I not look at all the things that go quote unquote wrong in my life and see that as anything other than the grace of God at work? Even the things that make you weird and quirky and awkward is God's grace. You thought this whole time something was wrong because you didn't fit in, but God literally graced you to be different. God graced you to stand out. And the unique vantage point and approach that you now have on life, the unique imprint that you get to make in your particular field of work, the creativity that you bring to the table is unique to you. It's a grace. And it's all because you're wired the way that you're wired. It's all because you're weird. Really. So thank God. Thank God that I'm wired this way. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. And really the highlight of this message that I want to share with you today is this point here. Even your longing for God, even your desire for truth is a result of grace. Because there's nothing worse than spiritual ego. And that tends to happen a lot. We start off in this journey, we get a whole bunch of knowledge and information in our head. Now all of a sudden we believe we're experts. Isn't it so funny? Like when you start off on the path, you think you know everything. But then the deeper you go in the path, you realize you don't know anything at all. So it's very easy to decipher the noobs from the people who've been in it for a while, because the noobs just think they know everything. But the people who are really experts, they're like, ah, trust me, it gets more confusing the deeper you get into this thing, and I don't have any of the answers. And you learn how to be okay with that. But even your longing for God, your desire for truth is grace. So there's nothing to be proud about. I was talking with a Jewish buddy of mine yesterday for lunch. It was his birthday, and we were celebrating at Doc B's in Fort Lauderdale. And he comes from an Orthodox Jewish family. And his brother-in-law has now taken up a newfound passion for his religion and for his faith and for God. But to the point where it's like a little annoying, because you know how it is when it's too much. It's like, you don't have to bring this up in every conversation. You know, we could be normal humans. And they were having lunch and they were discussing things. And his brother-in-law says to him, you know, you would be so much better of a person if you were religious. He said that to him. My friend don't play that and almost wanted to punch him in the face and prove his point. But he held back and, you know, he had some conversations with this guy about all the things that he does for people who are in need and how he's given his life to helping people who are less fortunate than him and, you know, whatever. They had their little debate, debacle issue or whatever. But something that I told my friend was, listen, the truly religious people, somebody who's truly religious is humble. Okay, so if somebody says they're religious, but they're acting like they're better than you, they're the furthest thing from true religion as possible. Because true religion makes you humble. You understand that you are what you are by the grace of God. And if it wasn't for God awakening this desire in me to pursue him, I wouldn't be pursuing him. If it wasn't for the grace of God giving me that longing to even pursue wisdom and pursue higher truths, especially in this room, you know, we're an anomaly when it comes to churches because we have so many younger adults in the room. Most pastors that I talk to, they got a bunch of old people and they're trying to figure out, how do we get younger people here? You know? Well, for people who are in that younger bracket, who can be getting, especially living here in South Florida, we can get distracted by a million different one things. But God has graced you for some reason with this desire to pursue truth, with this desire to learn the ways of love. That is such a gift. The pain and suffering that you will avoid in life because you sit underneath these words, because you pursue God for yourself. And of course, you're also going to go through a lot of pain and suffering too. But imagine how much worse it would be if you didn't learn the things that you've learned, if you were just continuing in your ignorance. So it's a grace that God has given you this longing and desire. Look at this quote from Rupert Spira. He's a philosopher that I really admire. He says, "The search for God is itself an invitation from God. Our desire for God is God's desire for us." So the way the New Testament puts it is, we love because God has first loved us. Grace is divine enablement and empowerment. Look at how Jesus puts it. It gets really confusing really quick. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." In another scripture, we don't have it up, but Jesus says, "All those who come to me are those who are drawn to me by the Father." It's that drawing, that luring, that wooing, which, if you reflect on it, it's been happening your whole life. God's been wooing you and calling you and luring you and drawing you your whole life. We just like to do our own thing and be our own gods, which is fine. But eventually, we wake up. It's all grace from beginning to end. So this leaves us with quite a paradox to live into, as most spiritual truth does. Okay, on the one hand, from the human vantage point, we do the choosing, right? But from a divine vantage point, we've been chosen. And both of those are true at the same time. So I love how St. Augustine puts it. How do you actually implement this in your life? Act as if everything depended on you. Pray as if everything depended on God. Isn't that beautiful? Act as if everything depended on you. Pray as if everything depended on God. Another way you can think about this, outwardly, in your interactions with other people, take responsibility for everything. But inwardly, in your state of being, take responsibility for nothing. Leave it all to God. I make the choices, but God produces the outcomes. I make the decisions, God gets all the credit and all the glory. You know what happens when you actually start living like this? Deep abiding peace. Because you realize I'm not the one in control of this whole thing. I have a really important role to play as I co-create with God. But grace means it's done unto you instead of done by you. And when you operate from that mentality that it's all being done unto you, through you, for you, you can just relax. You can relax into this grace and you can flow in this river of grace and allow it to take you wherever it will because you trust that the one who is leading and guiding you is always going to lead you and guide you to a good place. And so through the ups and the downs of life, you maintain this deep, abiding peace. You've come to the realization that there's a higher power that is at work in every detail of your life. It's possible to live like this, everybody. And then even more so, what living into this paradox does is it allows you to overcome fear. Because you know that whatever situation you may face in your future, there will be grace for you there. There will be grace for you there. I was talking this week with a young woman who recently gave birth. And she's been dealing with mental health issues for quite some time. After she gave birth, I guess the postpartum depression really got to her and it really amplified a lot of things. And she kept having this nagging thought that her husband and her child would be better off without her. And she felt so overwhelmed by the stress of life that she wanted to take her life. And so she went back to the hospital where she gave birth to her baby and jumped off the parking garage. And she survived. She survived. And I was sitting next to this woman, holding her hand, talking with her. And it was mostly listening, as always. But when I did have an opportunity to say something, I mentioned to her, listen, if God called you to be a mother, he will give you the grace you need to do it. You just got to trust that it'll be there. Of course, you're not going to see it now. But when you keep taking one step after another, the path will be shown to you. But you won't see the whole picture from the get-go. If God calls you to something, God will give you the grace to sustain you in it and through it. Look at what it says in the New Testament. No trial has overtaken you that is not faced by others, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you are able to bear. And I also was able to comfort her with that truth, letting her know, hey, you're not crazy. You're not the first person who's done something like this. You think you're the first person? You're the first mom who's had the thought, I just want to end my life? No, you're not. There have been others too. If God calls you to it, he will grace you for it. And it's important for us to keep that in mind, that there will always be grace for us there. It's future grace. And it will always be there for us. Because we get so caught up in these what-if situations. You know, what if I lose the job? What if we break up? What if I'm alone? What if the worst thing that I'm thinking in my mind happens? And of course, you're not going to be able to see from where you are how you're going to do it. But the whole point of this grace that God continually pours out into our lives is that when, if and when that worst case scenario happens, if and when that time comes, the strength that you need in that moment will be made available to you. If and when that time comes, that the worst case scenario becomes true, the power you need to get through it will be given to you. The wisdom that you need will be revealed to you. There will be grace for you there. And so this is why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. God will give you grace that is sufficient for the day. Nothing more, nothing less. God will give you the grace that you need right now in this moment. A while ago, I was talking with somebody, a woman who got into an accident, and she had to have surgery, and the recovery process was just, it was just so difficult for her. She could barely dress herself. She couldn't feed herself. She couldn't shower herself. She used to be super independent. Now she's totally dependent on other people to just to exist. And she got to a point where she was so overwhelmed with all of this, she just cried out to God. And she says, I can't do this anymore. I can't live the rest of my life like this. And then after she kind of let that out, her mind settled into silence. And she told me that these words came to mind that later she identified as the voice of God. And that voice says, I'm not asking you to live like this for the rest of your life. I'm just asking you to live like this today. And it was like this weight came off of her shoulders, because today is a finite period of time. Today is doable. Today is different than for the rest of my life. We think when we're stuck in the middle of the suffering and the pain that this is how it's going to be forever, and we don't see a way out. But if you just keep moving, the grace will keep showing itself, and God will give you everything you need in that moment to continue on the journey. So whatever it is that you may face in your future, just know that there will be grace for you there. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are so good and gracious towards us. Help us to live into this truth that all is grace. Every moment is grace. Even our desire and our longing for you is grace. It is you who give us the power to succeed. It is you who gives us the ability to continue to grow and mature and gain influence and produce wealth. And every good thing, God, can be traced back to your grace. And not even every good thing, also all the bad things too. Even all of our issues and our problems, we've been graced with them. It is by the grace of God that we are what we are. Help us to recognize that truth, to live in deep abiding peace, and to know that whatever we may face in the future, there will be grace for us there. The strength we need will be given. The wisdom we need will be revealed. And by your glory, by your grace, by your power, we'll be able to become everything it is that you've created us to be. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Okay. Happy Sunday, everybody. Love you tremendously. See you next Sunday.